Buckle up. The Three Wide Podcast is on the air. In-depth analysis between the three biggest divisions in NASCAR. The Gander Outdoor Truck Series, Xfinity Series, and the NASCAR Cup Series. And now, the green flag flies from the Little Apple in Manhattan, Kansas. Podcasting to the world. It's the Three Wide Podcast with EG3. Here's your host, Eddie Greer III.
The Three Wide NASCAR Podcast is back. Yeah, you like that, guys. Eddie Greer III, host of the Three Wide Podcast with EG3 here in the MHK Manhattan, Kansas on this rainy Wednesday evening here in the EG3 basement. Of course, y'all know what it is. Trucks, Xfinity, Cup Series, the three biggest divisions in all of NASCAR, folks. This is the weekly edition, as usually, for the show. And before we dive straight on in to a jam-packed episode of the show, of course, you can follow me on Twitter, the Twitter handle. I've been telling you guys for the last few weeks I was going to change it a little bit, and it has. So now it is at Eddie_EG3 again. Once again, my Twitter handle at Eddie_EG3. And again, you can follow the Three Wide NASCAR Podcast. You can download it wherever you get your podcast. You don't know what it is. Spotify, Audio Boom, Apple Podcast, Stitcher, and plenty more. Jam-packed show. And we have a returning special guest here at the bottom of the hour here on the show. And of course, the social distancing thing continues. Big D is not here to produce this podcast. Of course, it's going to be just all about EG3, yours truly, as pretty much most of the time here tonight on this podcast. But yeah, so much to get into, and I'm going to wrap up the podcast. I got an announcement for you guys, plus talk, summarize the NFL draft preview, the NFL draft eve, as I'm recording this on Wednesday, April 22nd, 2020. I'm excited and antsy with all the rumors going around, especially with my team going on. I'm very anxious to see what unfolds tomorrow night with this draft. Man, excited to see something live in this case with no live sports going on and things like that. So yeah, very pumped up for that. And of course, this episode will be going up on its off hiatus day Sunday night. So look out for that as well. So we're going to know for sure by then who we drafted and who your favorite team drafted as well. But I want to get into this real quickly here while we have some time before we wait on Isabella Robusto to hop on a podcast. Once again, we've had her on before last summer and excited to have her back on the podcast. She will be back on here, of course, part of the Drive for Diversity program and plenty more. Pumped up about that. All right, folks. Okay, so to tie a bow on what happened on a show last week, I'm not going to get into that. Already share my thoughts on that. I'm going to leave it as it is, and I stand by what I said. And I want to tie a bow on this quickly here. Bubba Wallace, of course, laid days later. You know, actually, it was a day, maybe 2 days after I recorded the podcast, the episode last week. He had a little spew, kind of a little bit of essay summarizing what happened with, of course, the whole Larson event last week. He had his say about that, and then of note, somebody from the old school days popped in and spent some time with Larson, and that was Willie T. Ribbs. None other than Willie T. himself had a chance to talk with him as well. And from reading the article last week, he was more of a forgiving mood than most of us were last week on there. And they had some time to talk and to kind of scratch the surface a little bit, but again, you know, a long road ahead of him for, when I say him, Kyle Larson. So definitely wanted to get you guys updated on that situation. Wanted to tie a bow in that. I did not want to speak too much on that because already that's was in last week's episode, and I did not want to rehash that again. So you know my feelings on that situation. So I wanted to get that clear and out of the way here for you folks. But again, folks, Bubba had his say about what Kyle said last week in a game-changing event there for all of NASCAR, really. And Willie T. Ribb stepping in there and reaching out to Kyle Larson last week. I think it was a day after or two, something like that. So definitely, you know, yeah, for sure. So wanted to leave that in its own bucket. Want to tie a bow on that and move on with another topic that's been going on, that's been really been brewing here last several days, folks. It has been talk of NASCAR trying to get things going quickly as they can. And, you know, for what it is right now, obviously everybody's anxious to get their respective seasons going, and particularly NASCAR, MLB, trying to figure things out, try to move things to get the ladder, if you will. So, but NASCAR, obviously, with, you know, these different stay-at-home orders with different states, and obviously, of course, made official last week, was Martinsville date with the stay-at-home orders for June postponed, or really, actually, I should say canceled, if you will. So take that out. One of the more anticipated races going in to this year was the Martinsville race on Mother's Day, debuting the Act First quote-unquote night race, if you will, on a short track. Everybody was looking forward to that, and it was on a special day on Mother's Day. That is not going to happen. Which leads now to the thought now that, hey, the target for NASCAR to get going, and this has been for a few weeks now, May 24th, that is the Coca-Cola 600, the longest night in all of NASCAR, and obviously the Indianapolis 500 being moved to August in a cancellation of Monaco now leaves up to the Coke 600, which usually all three of those events usually run on Memorial Day weekend. Obviously, Monaco's out this year. The 500 in the IndyCar series moved to August, and we do not know the fate of the Coke 600 and NASCAR. Marcus Smith, that track owner, they really want to get this thing started. And there are still a lot of mixed feelings whether or not to risk it or not. Obviously, at the top of the heed is to start off with no fans in the stands. This is the 3Wide Podcast with EG3, Eddie Gritter III. Here with you guys on this rainy spring Wednesday evening here in Manhattan, Kansas. But yeah, I mean, that's taking a gamble. Obviously, you know, you want to be run up and running and making money, and to make that happen, obviously, you have to release the chains, if you will, and let the folks who work on the cars for these respective teams get back and work on these cars. Obviously, no cars, no racing. So again, this is going to take some time. If you're going to do it, you better do it soon, because May is coming on us, and it's coming on us in a hurry for sure. So I mean, time's ticking for NASCAR to get this thing rolling and make a quick decision, really, and things they're coming up pretty soon now. And look, I'm all for, and I was against this when this pandemic hit, but now with, you know, the sense of urgency, Major League Baseball, you know, NFL is still ways away. And obviously, I want to see a football season of some sort this year. But, I mean, that's another discussion here down the road. But you're talking about NASCAR and where it is right now. Where it is, it's at a halt. And whether, I mean, all thoughts and thoughts leading towards trying to get things going so that there will be racing. But, yeah, obviously, yeah, you have to start off with no fans in the stands. That was the first thought at Atlanta Motor Speedway before the pandemic hit, before everything went to hell and you had to cancel every sporting event in the world, including, there's been a lot of cancellations. Obviously, you know this by now. And, you know, you have crew members, you know, all this, and you have what if, you know, somebody's not feeling well, it could progress to the garage, and they were really screwed. So NASCAR is still caught in a pickle, and they're going to have to be making a decision soon here. And basically, this is April 22nd, right, folks? So as I'm recording this to you guys, right? So we're basically pretty much something like this. We're a month away from the actual date of this Coke 600. And if they linger this on a little longer, it's going to be too late. So they're going to have to make a decision soon. And probably, if I were one of the NASCAR representatives, I'll make that decision probably next, by the end of the month. Basically next week. And not if it goes any further than that, then you're screwed, pretty much. So, and obviously, May, with that going on, Kansas, the race here in Kansas City, well, not here, but 2 hours east of here, Kansas City, Kansas Speedway, you know, well, with the no fan situation, we won't be able to go, obviously, with that, but to see some type of live event going on, not iRacing, but actual real cars on the racetrack bowing out. So they're caught, and you know, there could be a positive sign for sporting fans, or this could be another negative sign for the folks who love the sport and whatnot. So again, NASCAR, not Brian France, he's out of the picture. What I'm talking about, Steve O'Donnell, Steve Phelps. I don't know where I got Brian France from. Maybe it's from looking at too many of those memes on Twitter. But yeah, so, you know, Steve O'Donnell, Steve Phelps, they have a decision to make. Obviously, Marcus Smith wants to see some racing on his track, and we all want to see that. So they're going to have to make the smart decision here as to whether or not we're going to see actual racing on May 24th. This is the 3Wide Podcast with EG3, yours truly, Eddie Gritta III, here. Just a few more minutes before we have our special guest on, Isabella Robustu. And I feel like I'm saying that last name wrong, but we had her on the show before, but she'll be calling in here pretty shortly here, folks. So the state of NASCAR, pretty much now, you know, we had the unfortunate events last couple weeks, and now you have this situation here, trying to get back going. And you know, I was still, you know, the schedule, the quote unquote schedule for May on, I want to still talk about that, but with these headlines keeping on forward, I'll have to push that back till the next episode of the 3Wide Podcast. So again, we have all this stuff we want to talk about, but in hours time frames for that. Obviously, you know, obviously the race over the weekend, you know, any car had its E-race again. Simon Pagenaud back to back in that department there, and then William Byron going back to back, two iRace wins in a row. The king of iRacing is hot, and he took the lead away from Ryan Preece, and it was all she wrote there. And it was the battle between him and Timmy Hill, part two. Timmy Hill was not close enough. Obviously, this race went into overtime. Timmy Hill and William Byron was all about those restarts. He was not going to have any of that for what happened at Virtual Texas a few weeks ago, where he got knocked out of the way. And Timmy Hill went on to seal the deal at Texas. But this time around, William Byron said, you're not going to do it. And he holds off Timmy Hill. Timmy Hill still has not finished outside the top three. But Talladega is coming up this weekend on the Fox family of networks there. So this was a little bit of better race here of a short track. Bristol, I did not watch that, but I went back and watched it. And that was a whole mess in itself there. This was a lot more tame. And late in the race, we had a car upside down. That was Christopher Bell. Posed up for a picture of Christopher Bell's 95 upside down, that remachine upside down. That was funny in itself. And then we have more retaliation, in which included Matt DiBenedetto getting kicked out of the race. So that's the third race in a row we've seen somebody getting kicked out. thrown out of an E-Race race. Daniel Suarez for the last 2 weeks, and then of course last week ended up being Matt DiBenedetto, your top 10 from this race here. Let's start at number 10, Brad Keselowski of Penske. He had a good run for most of the race there. Bubba Wallace there, a late charge into the top 10. At number 9, Dale Earnhardt Jr. finished 8th. Eric Jones, where the hell he come from? Finished in the 7th spot. Denny Hamlin, 6th. And then Kyle Busch finished 5th. Landon Castle in that 89 car. Landon Castle was up there for most of the race there. Parker Kligerman, he was a factor throughout this race. Kligerman finished 3rd. And of course, we already covered the top 2. Again, this time, William Byron getting the best of Timmy Hill. So they're both even on that account. There in an overtime finish, Timmy Hill could not get close enough to William Byron. And that's all she wrote. Byron showing why he thrived in this setting at iRacing. And, you know, part of me wonders, you know, why did this translate onto the actual tracks here? Obviously, important year for William Byron in the actual series, not Cup Series, in the real thing. So I'm just thinking to myself, you know, why is this not translating onto the actual racetrack? I have no idea. But he's showing everybody why. Everybody touted this dude that he could be the next successful in NASCAR. Obviously, the rise, and we've seen in the last few years, trucks, he won a lot. You know, Xfinity, he won a championship there, and he's yet to win in the Cup Series. Obviously, coming close a couple of times. Kentucky, I've known, and obviously Martinsville, Martin Truex Jr. holding him off there in the playoffs last year. So Byron, I mean, it'll be interesting to see when, if we do actually go back racing, to see if he can actually translate this some of the success over to the real thing. So, I mean, that's kind of my thoughts on that. So definitely William Byron, 2 in a row. He's going to try to make it 3 in a row at Talladega, virtual Talladega, this the weekend as the iRacing Pro Invitational Series rolls on, folks. So definitely looking at that. Isabella should be calling in here pretty soon. And on that note, I'm going to step aside for a little bit. We're going to take a timeout now. And on the other side of the break, here on the 3Wide Podcast, Isabella Robustu should be calling in, and we'll be talking to her and kind of catching up with her a little bit of this pandemic hiatus, if you will. Stay tuned to 3Wide Podcast with EG3. We'll be back after this.
This is a quick pit stop. The 3Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3 will be right back after a word from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
The 3Wide NASCAR Podcast is back here in Manhattan, Kansas, live. Eddie Gritter III, here with you guys on this rainy Wednesday evening here in Kansas, April 22nd, 2020. Of course, Gator Outdoor Truck Series, the Xfinity Series, and the NASCAR Cup Series, the three business divisions in all of motor sports. We talked about the state of NASCAR a little bit more in the first segment, but now standing live on the phone right now, obviously joining us back on the 3Wide Podcast, she's now moved up to the NASCAR Wheel and All American Series, none other than Isabella Robusto. Isabella, welcome back to the 3Wide Podcast. How you been doing?
I've been doing good. The weather here is great. I don't know about you guys, but it's nice and sunny here and warm. So it was a great day to go outside today, but I'm doing well.
Yeah, it's about the opposite, sort of, here. It's been raining on and off all most of the day here in Manhattan, Kansas, but yesterday was pretty beautiful outside. So definitely the springtime is here, and I'm glad that the winter is out of the way finally, and we can have some nice weather.
Me too.
Yeah. All right. So, with sports hiatus, you know, obviously with the pandemic of the virus, what has quarantining been going for you, Isabella, during this time?
I mean, it's definitely been an adjustment, but I've gotten used to it at this point. Starting out the day working on school, they canceled school for the rest of the year, so I guess I'll be doing that till summer starts. But I take the first couple hours of the day, work on school, and then after I normally go out and work on the simulator and race with a bunch of my friends. So.
Yeah, how's that been going? You know, being able to at least do something, well, driving wise, to keep yourself in that rhythm, if you will. How's that been going?
It's been doing good. I got so desperate wanting to get out into some type of car. So the other week we took our go-karts out, my brother and I, and we rode them up and down the street, and everyone came out and enjoyed it. It was like a little show for everyone that's been cooped up inside, but that's one of the ways I've been staying busy. But I've been getting used to the simulator. I really didn't do it that much before this pandemic happened, so I'm getting used to it now, getting better, and doing a couple races every day, just trying to get better and better.
And, okay, so I don't know about you, but, I'm an introvert, so I'm an essential worker, so I still got to go to work. Well, luckily, I still have a job to able to go to work and see actual faces that I'm familiar with and able to go out of town and deliver parts every day and things like that. So I'm more of an introvert, but I don't know about you, but, you know, some of my friends are extroverts, so it's driving them absolutely insane and not being able to go out. But obviously, you know, there's limitations. You can only go out for if you need something or you need food. So I don't know. What's your personality like? I didn't ask you this before, but...
Oh, I'm definitely an outdoor person. I don't really like to be cooped up indoors for that long, but on the nice days that we have, I go outside and run around, play some basketball or soccer with my brother, and I mean, the two of us just get outside, do whatever we can in the backyard, you know, without leaving the house, and then after we'll go and come inside and do something like watching a movie and all that. But right now, it's hard to catch up with my friends. We kind of just, like, FaceTime every day, but it's not the same. We don't really get to see each other that much.
Yeah.
So it's definitely been a big change, but we're getting used to it every day. So.
Yeah. You know, I mentioned that, you know, I'm able to see people at work, but on the flip side, you know, using this app called Zoom or whatever and seeing my friends on the video on a computer screen, yeah, it's definitely been been interesting. I miss able to hang out with them on a weekly basis, so it's been definitely been different on that side. But yeah, absolutely, it's been an adjustment for a lot of people that are dealing with this right now. Isabella, you've already talked about, you know, being able to hang out with your brother, you know, doing, hanging out, enjoying the nice weather up there, playing soccer and whatnot. Have you been able to watch, well, you mentioned movies already. Have you been able to watch a TV show, been able to binge watch anything? I know you've been busy with school, which I'm going to get to shortly, but have you been able to binge watch a series or anything like that? Or you've just been playing around?
Well, I mean, we've kind of just been watching some, like, old racing movies that they've made throughout the years, but I haven't really been watching, like, one series in general. I'd say I just, like, find a movie. Most of them right now have been, like, racing movies and all that, like Talladega Nights. I've watched so many times that I decided to watch it again, and just catching up on some old shows that I might have like watched a long time ago and just getting back into them. But I mean, I haven't really started anything new.
This is the 3WOD podcast with EG3. Isabella Robusto joins us once again, and just to clarify things up real quick, are you back at home in South Carolina, or you're still in Charlotte?
I'm back at home in South Carolina.
Okay, all right, good, all right. So, I mean, speaking of movies, I mean, other than Talladega Nights, which I have, honestly, I'll be honest with you, I have not seen that. Do you have a favorite movie other than Talladega Nights, NASCAR-wise or racing-wise?
Racing-wise, my favorite one that I've seen is Ford versus Ferrari. There's just so much history in that, and it's just a really cool movie in general. But if my favorite movie outside of racing is probably any Marvel movie. I love Marvel, just like all the action. Iron Man is definitely my favorite, but over quarantine, I've definitely watched all of those. But yeah,
that's another one that I haven't watched yet. Unfortunately, for Ford vs. Ferrari, I definitely want to see that at some point. And yeah, I'm a big Marvel movie person. Obviously, the Avengers. I would say, I don't. Man, it's hard for me to decide which one is my favorite. Obviously, for me, the top three, Black Panther is up there. The last Avenger movie, Endgame, and then number two, I'll probably say the first part of the last set of the Avengers. I can't think of it right now. I've lost the top of my head, so I'm definitely a huge fan of the Marvels.
Yeah, I definitely love their movies, so.
Yeah, all right. So, yeah, you talked about school earlier in this interview. With school being canceled throughout the U.S., you know, I have friends of mine that have kids that that's been, you know, depending on the day, that's been driving them, you know, what type of mood they're in, what's been driving them crazy. So it's that for that adjustment for them, you know, having to get adjusted, you know, with the kids being at home all the time, you know, while working at home, you know, that's been an adjustment for them. So what has that been like for you? I know you're going to school, but what has that been like for you, you know, being at home and taking online classes and not being able to actually, you know, go to school physically and doing your normal thing?
I mean, it hasn't been that much of an adjustment because during when we were all in school, I had virtual classes so that I could leave school early and go up to the race shop.
Okay.
And so I had already had practice for a whole semester. So by the time this whole thing started, I already had a jump start on everyone. I knew how to pace myself, how to get all my work lined up that I needed to, how to like work the software and that we're now using. And so I feel like the virtual side I was good on. Just having to teach myself and all the subjects has definitely been a challenge, but I'm starting to get used to it. It was just my main problem with science. Science is probably my worst subject, but I just had to get used to teaching myself how to do it. So definitely Google's come in handy, asking Siri questions during the day. She's like my new teacher. But I'm getting used to it, and it's going good right now.
Isabella Robusto, driver of the number 55 Max Siegel Incorporated Toyota, part of the Drive for Diversity program on the 3Wide Podcast. Once again, EG3, you the guys tonight. Glad she can join us once again. So, science is your worst subject. So, what's your favorite subject?
My favorite subject has always been math. I just love the challenge and all the different ways that you can learn how to solve a problem.
There you go. Math is one of my two favorite subjects when I was in school / college. So I definitely like the same as you. You know, I love the challenge of trying to solve different problems and things like that. And I was very close actually. When I transferred to Kansas State University up here in Manhattan, Kansas, I was very close to majoring in engineering. But when I went in the first week to, you know, try out for a couple classes, I was very intimidated, so I went another direction.
Yeah, another thing that I've been missing a lot with school being out is I did track and field for the school, and I went after school every day with my friends. We went to track practice for like 2 hours a day, and I really miss doing that, and it would be my first year in high school competing in it. We only got like 2 meets in, so I didn't get that much, but it was still enough. But I just really wish that we could go back to school just for track and field right now, because I'm really missing doing high jump and long jump. But
yeah, you mentioned that last time you were on the podcast. You were a high jump champion, is that correct? If I remember,
yes.
Because I went back I went back to listen to the last time you were on the podcast. So yeah, have you been able to, other than to play soccer with your brother, have you been able to at least do a little bit of running? I know I've been doing a lot of running lately and getting to my mileage, and so that's been good on my end. Have you been able to do practice your high jumping or do anything like that, or you just been whatever and play outside and enjoy the weather?
Yeah, well, before in 7th grade, I ended up getting a high jump mat over summer. So I have my own high jump mat here, so I've been practicing a couple days a week, just getting back into the rhythm, making sure I don't lose it, and just trying to perfect my technique, watching videos on how to make it better and how I can jump higher and higher. So I've gotten more practicing during the pandemic than I would normally, but I haven't been able to do long jump that much because you need a sand pit, but I've been working on sprints and all of that stuff, so.
Alright, so just keep working on it whenever you can, so that's good that you're still putting in the time for that. So, yeah, we're quite a bit into the interview, and we're going to talk a little bit about racing since we've on a national level, there's been only like 4 weeks of racing in before this whole craziness hit with this pandemic. But I want to rewind for you back to last year. You finished second overall in the point standings in the Bojangles Summer Shootout in the semi-pro division. So give yourself a grade. How is the feeling of finishing second, coming so close to finishing first in that division?
Yeah, you know, coming into the last race, well, the entire season, really, I've bounced between first and second in points the entire season. And coming into the last week, it was a doubleheader week. Monday's race went pretty good. I think I ended up finishing, like, second or third. But the person who had the points lead ended up breaking out, so I got closer and closer, and it was only like 5 or 6 points behind him going into the last race, and I just knew that I had to keep a good mentality, and going into qualifying, I ended up having my engine blow up, so I ended up starting dead last in the race, ended up like finishing, I think I finished 6th, it was the only race that I didn't finish in the top 5, but I was so sad. I was trying my hardest the entire season. I knew that I could get it, and all the years before working up to it, I knew like everything I could about the track and Had a great crew, great car. Everything was so good. It was going perfect up to that race, but can't really help with the engine blowing up. That didn't help. So I was super disappointed, but hopefully this year, if we do get back going, I can get that championship that I missed by a little bit.
Yeah, that's a tough way to end the championship run right there. We see it all the time in NASCAR, whether it's trucks, expanding the Cup Series, where a potential championship contender, unfortunately out of your own doing, loses a tire and especially an engine. So that's gotta hurt a little bit, but you finished second, so that's good, but you're so close to that championship, so definitely, I'm sure for you, you're very hungry to get back out there and get back going racing.
Yeah, I really can't wait till I get back racing. Before this whole thing started, I was 1 week away from starting my debut for late models with Rev Racing, and I prepared, I watched videos, I was ready to go, and then all this happened, so I was so close to getting back and get my first race under my belt for late models. I practiced, and now it's just a waiting game at this point, so.
The 3Wide NASCAR podcast rolls on with Isabella Robusto, part of the NASCAR Drive for Diversity program. She drives the number 55 Max Siegel Incorporated Toyota. Eddie Gritter III here with her here in Manhattan, Kansas. So speaking of which, here you talked about, you know, anxious to get back going. So you now moved up. Last time I talked to you, you were in the middle of driving legend cars. So now you're in a different level than NASCAR Wheeling All-American Series. So what was the plans, your schedule, like going into 2020 for this year, before all this hit?
Going into this year, I had 17 races planned with Rev Racing and the All-Wheeling American Series for the late models. And We're 1 week away from starting our first race. We had a bunch of doubleheader races, and we went to multiple different tracks. A couple of them I've never been to, but I was hoping that we could get to them. And, there were a bunch of interviews and photo shoots and all that we were supposed to do. And now that this happened, we can't really do any of that, but but I'm ready to go back racing when all this is done.
Yeah, I was talking with Nick Sanchez a couple of weeks ago, and I could hear it in his voice, and he was very disappointed in that he wasn't at the racetrack. And with you, I can tell you're very antsy and excited to get back on the racetrack there. You talked about difficult tracks that you haven't been to. What are some of those tracks that you have not been to yet that you are anxious to get back learning on how to race those race tracks?
The main one was Lanely. I've just heard it's such a great racetrack and such good racing there, and everyone's goes there all the time, so they've got all the different secrets and stuff that make you go faster, and it's just a good place to go and race at. But the main one I want to race at is Myrtle Beach. It's closing down soon, and I don't know if we'll be able to race there before it closes, but I've practiced there multiple times, and it's definitely one of my favorite tracks for the late model right now. It's super fast, super slick, two of my favorite things in a racetrack, so really disappointed that we probably won't be able to end up racing there, but South Boston's another track. I've practiced there a couple times, but like I said, with Lanely, it's supposed to be a really fun track to race with. You can get multiple grooves, and maybe it's 3 wide, but it seems like it would be a really good race, and just really disappointed that we might not be able to get onto those tracks this year, but keeping our hopes up, and that's all we can do right now.
That's all you can do right now. Yeah, definitely. And thanks for the sponsor shout-out right there, 3Wide. But, yeah, Myrtle Beach, yeah, that's unfortunate for them. If you guys aren't able to go out there, that's such a sad story there. And obviously with, you know, the Cup Series, you know, with some of the short tracks not able to go, like Rockingham comes to mind. So that's unfortunate there. And obviously I've heard a lot about South Boston. I haven't been there personally, but I've heard a lot of good things about that racetrack. And so, comes to you switching gears slightly, you mentioned you're supposed to do some media interviews, things like that. Last year, I didn't watch this yet, but you were talking with USA Today, kind of promoting the Drive for Diversity program. How's that, talking with USA Today?
Being on the Today Show is definitely like a new experience. All of the preparation that went into the two, I think it was actually like a 3 or 4 minute segment that was on TV, but we shot for two entire days. The first day we went out to Charlotte Motor Speedway. We sat on the, on pit road, and we had, it was probably like close to an hour of interview. Questions and all that, and then we had B-roll that we did later that day, and it was probably 8 hours that day, and then we ended up going, and they came and shot at our race the next day on the 5th mile behind Charlotte. So they filmed all day there, and I ended up winning the race, which was good. it definitely, I didn't know that much went into it. Kind of like racing, you don't really know how much goes into it unless you go to the shop and see all the crew and how much goes into building a car and getting it to the track. It's kind of the same thing with TV. I didn't know how much preparation you had to have for that little short segment. So.
Yeah, being part of the media, being behind the scenes in radio, and I've done a little TV work. Yeah, that's that's a lot of time for just a small segment there. So
it was definitely super cool to be on national TV and and to promote the program of Rev Racing and NASCAR Diversity. So
yeah, that had to be fun right there. So yeah, definitely, folks are in the media like me. Myself, and yeah, that's a lot of time. You got to work on it, you know, make sure everything is spot on, and then you can go out and produce a quality high product there. So that had to be fun for you there. And then also I read an article about you that you were in a part of The Athletic last year. They made an article about you last year and your family. So Jordan Bianchi did that article last year with you. How did that go for you?
I don't. I don't really remember doing that one.
There was an article last summer or something that I came across last year that I read that you were in. So I mean, it's on The Athletic, but yeah, there was a long article that Jordan Bianchi did. So I didn't know. I didn't know if you're involved in that or not, so I just wanted to ask if you had you talk with him or not. So no, but
yeah, I don't recall doing that. But I hope it was great.
Yeah, it was really good actually. So yeah, so I wanted to bring that up. So I didn't know if you had any knowledge about that or not. This is the 3Wide NASCAR podcast with EG3 with Isabella Busto here from Rev Racing. She moved up to the NASCAR Wheel and All American Series. There she drives the number 55 Maxxial Incorporated Toyota. So I have not asked you this yet. I've asked most of the folks, the boys and girls who've on this, in this program. So I'm going to ask you the same thing. Your crew chief is Johnny Allen, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, so what, you know, I don't know if you say you've been antsy to get back on the racetrack. Have you worked with him before?
Yeah, I've practiced a couple times with him.
Okay, so how, I know you haven't raced with him yet, unfortunately, so how's the communication like with Johnny so far? at least the times that you have been able to practice these racetracks?
It's been pretty good. I've gotten to know pretty much all the crew for Rev much more. I've been going up to the shop, well, after school, back about a month ago. I went up to the shop a couple days a week and worked with them, but definitely getting to know them all better and better every day. And I think during practice we did good, worked together, got the car dialed in at whatever track we were at that week, so definitely pretty good.
That's good, yeah, and just to continue the work on the driver/crew chief relationship, that's definitely important, whatever level of series that you're a part of. So, all right, just a couple more questions. I know I kept you a little bit too long, but I appreciate you talking with us once again on the 3WIDE podcast. So, all right, so this iRacing deal that we've seen the last 4 weeks now, 4 or 5 weeks now, have you been able to watch the races at all?
I've been watching all the NASCAR races on Sunday, and right now I'm trying to like get tips off of what the drivers are trying to say, like how they're going faster. Because that when I got first into iRacing, it was definitely a struggle. I spun out tons, or hit the wall. The steering wheel is definitely hard to get used to. It always overcorrects with like the slightest movements. But I've been doing a NASCAR route series. The first race was on Monday. I competed in that with a bunch of other drivers from around the Charlotte area, and practice was not the greatest. I qualified okay, but I ended up finishing 8th in both of my heat races, so we didn't make the feature. We were 2 spots away from making the feature, but definitely getting used to it now, and watching the NASCAR races on Sundays, giving me a couple tips and hints that helped me.
That's good, at least. Yeah, there's, I mean, I don't have iRacing or anything, so I can't explain, but I have been watching, learning a little bit more about this iRacing stuff each and every week. And is there a difference? Do you see a major difference between the iRacing practice that you're getting now and the actual, you know, the real thing? Is there a difference, or how does that work?
There's definitely a huge difference. I mean, if you came from iRacing into real racing, I don't know if you'd see that much of a difference. But coming from racing, like real racing, onto iRacing, there's a lot of things you have to get used to. There's so many different settings and all that can change how your wheel reacts and how your pedals act. And it just took a long time to try to get them comfortable to what I'm used to driving, because there are so many different cars that are on iRacing that they kind of combine them all together, and it's just been getting used to. It's definitely different than racing. I can see how all the adjustments that you make in real life and that you make on the iRacing do make the difference that you think they would make. So it's helping me learn like what adjustments would do what in a real car. And just the main thing I would say that's different for me is the steering and the gas and brake, because you can't really feel that, like, feeling when you're in a car, when you hit the brake or hit the gas and stuff. And that's just kind of, I'm just trying to have to get used to that. Mm. But it's better. I'm getting better every day, slowly but surely. Getting faster and faster, so. But there is definitely a difference between the two.
And I know I had Raja Karuth on his podcast last summer, and he's really huge in iRacing. Have you been able to communicate with him at all? Has he been able to work on iRacing? Have you been in contact with him at all?
I definitely, he was a big part of setting it up. I'm not that big in, like, IT stuff and all that type of thing, so I know, like, your simple computer, but setting up iRacing was a challenge. He helped with setting it up, and he's just been a big help with when we get into races, like, what settings would make you faster, because there are so many different settings that are allowed even on fixed setup races. So just asking him and other teammates within Rev that do a lot of iRacing, just reaching out to them and trying to get help to learn what you need to do for each track. So, but he's been a big help during practices, like on Monday's race. Followed him around in practice for a couple laps until he got too far away, but he's been a pretty good help. So,
yeah, the 3Wide NASCAR podcast rolls on. Isabella Robusto from the NASCAR Drive Diversity, one of the rising stars going through the program here. Just a couple of minutes with her, Isabella. Staying on an iRacing subject here for another minute or two, do you have any more races playing out for the iRacing stuff?
I do the NASCAR Roots one. It's every Monday night. We practice for a couple hours. There's an open session on Sundays. I normally use most of those hours because I need them. But Mondays, I think it's about 7:10. Or 7:10-ish qualifying starts, and they have it on the NASCAR Roots Twitch and Twitter, and it's definitely a show. Their last week was a lot of wrecking. Most of us are not iRacers, so we had some trouble on the start, so there were definitely some pile-ups. It was the luck of the draw of where you started if you finished, but it's getting better and better, and this week will hopefully be a fun one.
Is there a lap limit for the practice sessions for Sundays?
There are time limits. They don't tell us what, we know what car it is, we drive it modified, but they don't tell us the tracks until that Sunday practice opens. I think it's like 3 or 4 hours they have it open for, and last time I used, pretty sure all 4 hours to practice, but they don't tell you ahead of time, so you can't get that extra practice in and have that advantage. So you don't know until Sunday's practice opens for Monday's race, but yeah.
That would be nice to get extra practice every now and then without getting notification there, but it is what it is. So definitely I'm glad that you're able to continue to work, progress to getting better in the iRacing stuff.
I'm definitely glad that they have this series, because most of the races I'm in, I don't really know any of the drivers, but for this series, I pretty much know everyone or have met them or heard of them. So it's definitely better racing against people you know, rather than just the open races where you're racing people from, like, Thailand or I don't know, like, Australia. You don't know who they are, so.
Wow, I did not know. Wow. That's awesome stuff. All right, last question, and I'm going to ask you this. When things get back to, I guess, the quote-unquote norm, if you will, if we get back racing, what are your goals for the rest of the year if you guys are able to finally get to the track and able to race?
I mean, the overall goal is to win. to win is the main one, but for the first couple races, I just want to finish top five. Of course, I'm going to push for the win and do all I can, but I feel like the first few races I need to take and just use them as learning. Learn as much as I can. Top five is the goal, but of course winning's the main one.
Yeah, that's the goal. That is the goal. Win. That's all that matters. All right. Great stuff, Isabella. All right. Isabella, one more time, where can everyone follow you on your journey on social media?
You can follow me on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Isabella Robusto. I post pretty much every week. Just right now I'm posting about what I'm doing during quarantine, but normally it's about racing, just racing right now, though. Kind of just all my adventures at home, and so you can find everything I do on there.
Great, great stuff. Well, Isabella, I kept you a little bit too long, but great, great stuff from you tonight. I appreciate your time coming back on the podcast during this quote-unquote hiatus. Good luck. If we go back racing, good luck this season, and continue to get better in track, and also continue to work on your craft in iRacing.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. This was definitely a treat, and something different than what I normally am doing, so thank you.
You're listening to the 3Wide Podcast with EG3.
Wow, that was that. I can't say enough about what just happened right there. Isabella Robusto on the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast, again back on the podcast to tell us what she's been doing during this quarantine mini season here, as like all of you guys here still waiting on actual sports to get back on. That was, oh wow, I've had so much fun interviewing drivers, whether it's from the drivers for the diversity program for NASCAR, or you know, the president, you know, Bob Levine early this year, and that that was a lot of fun. Again, big thanks to Isabella Robusto, NASCAR driver, diversity program driver there from her hometown, South Mill, South Carolina there. And again, big thanks to Christy for getting that all together there. That was a blast. You're listening to the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3. A few more minutes and I'm going to cap off. I said earlier, draft time is upon us, folks, and I'm going to wrap it up. And I do have a special announcement. I'm going to get to that after this. So, yes, the NFL draft is tomorrow as I'm finishing up this podcast. And obviously, there's a lot of hype, you know, with the situation. There's been no sports, no activities going on besides all this e-racing going on, and between e-racing and 2K and horse. Yeah, so this right here, the most anticipated NFL draft, sports event really, that's going into tomorrow. I'm excited to watch it. And one of the rumors been going on involving my team, the Atlanta Falcons, trying to move up to the top five. Now, I tweeted this earlier on my Twitter feed. Well, not on my Twitter feed, but I tweeted at the Atlanta Falcons. Again, you can find me at Eddie_EG3, my revised Twitter handle, at Eddie_EG3. But yes, I told Atlanta Falcons, predicted this. They had a prediction list. They said, okay, make your prediction of what we're going to do tomorrow night. And obviously, the rumors are getting louder that we possibly could go into the top five to get one of the more high prolific defenders from college football from the past year, whether it's Jeffrey Okuda, Isaiah Simmons, Chase Young. That name's been circling around. And for the history of the Atlanta Falcons, drafting history, Thomas Dimitroff, the general manager of the Atlanta Falcons, has never traded back. He's always moved forward in the first round. Well, you know, my prediction was, and I'm going to say it again, I said it, tweeted that out earlier today on my lunch break, and I'm going to say it to you guys. And obviously, this podcast is going to come out on Sunday night, which now I'm really excited for because of the content that obviously we did tonight. And they're gonna move up, but I'm tempted to say top five, but I don't think that's going to happen now. If it does, you can laugh at me when I come back on to talk about it next week. They're going to move up, but they're going to move up inside the top 12. Top dozen to secure their guy. And I've been really on the Javon Kinlaw train from South Carolina. Oh, speaking of which, from Isabella's home state, Javon Kinlaw, who went to South Carolina. That's the guy I think we're going to get, and they have to get somebody to line up next to Grady Jarrett, who obviously one of the best top three defensive tackles in the NFL. They have to put something up there now. It doesn't make sense to me. I mean, obviously C.J. Henderson, another name, popular name, and I follow him a lot. My other favorite team, the Florida Gators, and obviously my alumni from K-State, but my other college team, the Florida Gators, I've seen a lot of C.J. Henderson, and if you move up to get him, it doesn't really make a lot of sense, because I believe if you stay where you're at, I think he's going to still be there anyway. If things go to plan, now you know the NFL draft. One thing, you know, all these mock drafts and whatnot, you know, one small thing, if it's not in order, then everything goes to hell. Obviously, you have to expect the unexpected. I'm just going to go in like that. I'm trying not to get my hopes up. We're just going to have to find out, because last year we drafted an offensive tackle, offensive guard last year, and Chris Lindstrom. Everybody was like, what in the heck just happened? So, you know, all this talk about, you know, Chase Young, it really accelerated today for whatever reason. I just don't know. And this is going to be really, and get your popcorn ready, because whoever your favorite team is, this is going to be really intriguing, exciting. And obviously there's players in this draft that really stick out. Obviously, where is Tua going to land? Where is some of these guys going to land? Chase Young, is he going to go number two or not? You know, obviously, so Isaiah Simmons' name's been floating around in there. Lions and Jaguars' name's been brought up in conversations like that. So, whatever your favorite team is, if you listen to this podcast, you know, it's must-see TV, and it's going to be fun. I don't know if I've ever been this excited for an NFL draft. I really haven't. Obviously, you know, football, you know, with this pandemic and whatnot, are we going to have a football season? Are we not? Already stated my prognosis. I want a football season, whether it's a half a season, conference season, or whatnot. You know, hopefully this thing, you know, slows itself. Pray, continue prayers that this thing, you know, slows itself down and get that curve down, so we can work towards getting things back going, like NASCAR, trying to get itself going on May 24th and things like that. So yeah, I'm antsy. I'm really antsy to get to the draft tomorrow night, and we'll just have to see. And obviously, like I said a few moments ago, folks, I will definitely talk about our first round pick. That is for sure on here next week, on next time that we join on the 3Wide NASCAR podcast. That is for sure. And yeah, and all the talk from yesterday is Tom Brady uniting with Gronk at Tampa Bay. Goodness gracious, this NFC South is going to be crazy. Obviously, the best division in the NFL. And I'm not going to go that rabbit hole with Tom Brady to the Bucks. Oh, Jesus. Breeze. You still got to do with Breeze. Brady, Bridgewater. They got the bees surrounding there. And of course, we still have Matt Ryan in here. Still moving along here with the Falcons as well. So, man, this thing just continues to get, even the gauntlet is getting harder. But, I mean, everybody already giving the Bucks a pass, already the Super Bowl. You might want to slow down on that. Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you know, Brady, 43, going in this year. Gronk is putting up his wrestling hat right now. And his singing stuff right now. Go back. He didn't stay retired too long. And obviously, he made it known that he wanted to play for Tom Brady. He only wanted to play for Tom Brady. He did not want to play for another quarterback. So he made that statement pretty clear yesterday, there when the Bucks made the move to recall Gronk back in the fray, and he's with now, reunited with Brady in Tampa Bay, and the steeper continues to get steeper down there. And with the way, if the way the draft is thinking, when I'm hoping to be thinking, you know, you don't want to sleep on the Falcons. That's why I want to say there. You know, it's an all nothing season for them because you have another bad season like that. DQ Dan Quinn and DTD Thomas Dimitroff. Yeah, I mean, I thought for sure that those guys would be gone after what happened, but the second half saved their bacon, and hopefully you would think someone can carry that momentum to this football season. If we get a football season going here, which I hopefully, you know, me and the wife, you know, talked about that a lot recently. So, man, we'll see what happens. The NFL draft, we will know when this podcast comes out. Who goes where, that is for sure. Again, folks, follow me on Twitter at Eddie_EG3, my revised Twitter handle, and the 3Wide Podcast. Download it, find it, subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Y'all know what it is. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Audio Boom, and much more. And we're also on SoundCloud as well. Man, this has been a fun episode for you guys tonight on the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast. And we will get this out to you guys on the quarantine break Sunday night, like we've been doing it since everything's been put to a hold. So very looking forward for you guys to listen to it, and definitely tell your friends about that. And lastly, yes, I tweeted this out. If you have not seen this already, the show has a Patreon page. No, we do not have a sponsor yet, but folks, if you join the podcast Patreon page, I want to make you, as fans of the podcast, the sponsor of this podcast. And if you do that, you will join a good cause, obviously. And I've been thinking about this a lot lately. And at the end of the year, you know, with the total funds being raised, it will go somewhere to a small business here in town. And man, yes, on that first post, I did mention a possible, you know, sponsor for a driver, but I'm definitely leaning towards, you know, it's still in the works yet, it's not finalized yet, but we do want to recognize a small business here in town due to the effects, you know, of the financial, obviously, you know, economically, financially, it's tight right now, but if you decide to hop on the 3Wide Squad on the podcast, you will become a sponsor automatically of this podcast. So definitely, I wanted to throw that out there. I almost forgot about that. So I definitely wanted to throw that out there for you guys. If you've been listening to the podcast or you've been following the podcast for quite a while, definitely it is on there now. www.patreon.com/egreer, the number 3 again, www.com/patreon. Ooh, excuse me, I said that wrong. I'm just butchering it right now. www.patreon.com/EGREER in the number 3, and you'll find information there. There are 2 tiers there, obviously. If you join, $10. I know it's might be a little out there a little bit, but if you decide to join, it's there. And then we have a second tier, and so all the information is right there, and we'll definitely start getting that out there as well. You join up on that, you definitely are automatically a sponsor of this podcast, which is, by the way, I mentioned it already, it's going to be called the 3Wide Squad. That is for sure. So looking forward to seeing that. I want to start pitching that out there as well. So hop on it, tell your friends about the podcast, and read more on patreon.com/egreer3. Let's break this thing down. Ladies and gentlemen, it's another wrap of another edition of 3Wide Podcast with EG3. Another big, big thank you to Isabella Robusto, the 16-year-old from South Carolina, back again, joining us one more time for a tremendous conversation there about what she's been doing during the quarantine season there. Big thank you to her, and another big thanks to Christy for getting that all put together. Thank you guys for listening to the podcast here tonight. Be up on Sunday, and happy NFL draft day. And one more other thing. Yes, everyone that said it who hosts the podcast, I'm going to say it as well. I'll leave you with this. Wash your hands. Please wash your hands work on that hygiene, continue to work on your hygiene, and most importantly, continue to stay safe. Eddie Gritter III, EG3, signing out. Stay safe, everyone. We'll talk to you next time. We out.
With EG3. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your sports podcasts. Spotify, Audio Boom, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and more. We'll talk to you next time, going 3 wide.